The Geithner and Bernanke Show.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner and Fed Chief Ben Bernanke will sit in front of a House panel today. This kind of joint appearance is a little unusual. They'll be taking questions about those AIG bonuses and perhaps get a bit of a congressional scolding on that note. They'll also detail the latest government efforts to help the economy. Geithner unveiled a plan yesterday to partner with private investors to buy up to $1 trillion in toxic assets. That, combined with some positive housing numbers, made for quite a Monday on Wall Street. The Dow shot up 497 points yesterday. That's 6.8%. The Dow closed at 7,775. The Nasdaq gained 6.75%. It was a 7% gain for the S&P. Asian markets closed higher today, and it's a mix right now in Europe. President Obama has a message for Europe this morning in a German paper. He wants an agreement on stimulus measures at next month's G20 summit. Secretary Geithner alluded to that last night in an interview on our evening program, Marketplace.
We need to work with other countries to make sure they're moving along with us, along with the United States, to provide stimulus to their economies to help get their financial systems working better, too. And that we're getting resources to those important markets for U.S. businesses that are under a lot of pressure now. So there's a very important global complement to what the president is trying to do.
The U.S. and Europe have been at odds over whether more stimulus spending is necessary. As governments work on a financial do-over to get banks to lend again, some banks in the world are doing just fine, thank you. Today, the Bank of China said its earnings last year grew by 14%. Marketplace's Scott Tong has more from Shanghai.
Bank of China and the other banks reporting earnings this week benefit from what some call the Great Financial Wall of China. By decree, it's hard for foreign money to rush in and hard for Chinese money to go out. So Chinese banks largely stayed out of the water of toxic assets. Matthew Phillips is with PricewaterhouseCoopers in Shanghai.
They were not heavy investors in toxic assets, subprime derivatives, CDOs, CBOs, etc. There are regulatory limitations on them doing that, and also they exercise a significant level of caution at the direction of the Chinese regulators.
In part because party officials appoint the top bankers. In a new survey, Phillips found almost 70% of Chinese financial institutions plan to expand overseas this year. The main reason is their corporate clients are packing their suitcases, shopping for mines in Australia, oil in Russia, and someday, perhaps a well-known car brand on the block. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Walmart is off to federal appeals court in San Francisco today. The nation's largest employer might be facing the nation's largest discrimination case. The question is whether 2 million women can sue an employer in a single lawsuit. Amanda Aronchik reports.
For so many plaintiffs to go against a single employer is, well, unprecedented. Ted Boutrous is Walmart's lead counsel on the appeal. He says that if the class action proceeds, Walmart won't get to defend itself against individual charges. He calls it a trial by statistics.
We have a tradition in this country that individuals get their day in court. Class actions are an exception to that that need to be used carefully so as not to defeat people's rights.
Deborah Smith is a senior staff attorney with Equal Rights Advocates. She argues that Walmart's discrimination is systemic.
It's exactly the type of case that the federal judiciary envisioned being a class action. It's David versus Goliath, you know, it's classic.
Smith says that if each woman were forced to bring her own suit, no one could possibly afford it. The original case has now been in the courts for over 8 years, and it's not getting any cheaper. I'm Amanda Aronchik for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
The outlook for manufacturers in Britain is pretty grim right now, as it is in a lot of places. Economists expect the UK sector to shed more than 140,000 jobs this year. But in the country that kicked off the Industrial Revolution, the business of making things could yet have a future. From London, Christopher Worth filed this report.
Brompton Bicycle has been manufacturing folding bikes in its small factory in West London since the 1970s.
By manufacture, I mean manufacture. You know, bits of metal come in, we bend them, we punch holes in them.
Emerson Roberts is Brompton's marketing manager. He says the company has grown from just a handful of people when it started to employing almost 100 today. It takes in about $12 million annually, and Roberts is ambitious for the future.
The plan this year is to grow sales by 25%.
Brompton is one of those rare success stories. When it opened its doors 3 decades ago, manufacturing accounted for 35% of Britain's GDP. Today, it's less than 15%. Britain has become a service economy with financial services at its core. Steve Hughes is an economic advisor with the British Chambers of Commerce.
Narrow reliance on financial services has been a weakness of the UK economy, and if you want growth and stability in the long term, there needs to be some kind of rebalance and redress within it.
Many in Britain hope that such a rebalancing could mean a much bigger role for manufacturing. The fact that the pound has recently plunged steeply against foreign currencies is just what's needed to give that trend a boost.
What's supposed to happen is that as the price of our exported goods are cheaper to our trading partners, then sales will obviously increase.
British producers also become more competitive at home as imports become more expensive. Of course, a weaker pound can't guarantee success in the current economy. British manufacturing dropped more than 5% by the end of last year. But back over at the bicycle factory, Brompton can already thank those lower exchange rates.
In parts of Asia and in the US, our sales are very strong. And in the UK, compared with last year, they are very much higher.
Other manufacturers in Britain would also love to boost their sales. Bosses and labor unions have recently called for massive government investment in a sector they hope can pull Britain out of its current economic funk. In London, this is Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.